Good morning. Today we have the pleasure of starting the ninth parak of Zvachim, Hamizbeach Mekadesh. Okay, we finished yesterday the eighth parak, Tarovis. Parak Tarovis talks about the mixtures when various kabbalas got mixed in with one another, and we learned about Bittul Barov and concepts related to Bittul. And we start now a new parak, which is also self-contained, meaning the discussion of this parak is really one subject matter, which it'll take us a week to get through in the Daf Yomi cycle. And okay, good. And then we're going to move on. What's the topic of this week's what's the topic of this week's Daf? It's going to be what the Mizbeach can tolerate. Meaning, we know we've gone through already a good part of the Masechta, most of the Masechta, and we know that there's a certain protocol that you have to keep in order to bring a carbon up onto the Mizbeach. And Ola is totally burnt up in the Mizbeach. Shlamim, parts of the Shlamim are burnt on the Mizbeach, what we call the Imurim. Imurim is the Torah terminology to the innards of the animal. We don't like to say intestines and, you know, other fun stuff, so we call them Imurim. And okay, good. And Chatzos and Asham, also parts of those go up onto the Mizbeach as well. The Imurim of those animals as well. And we know that in order for that to happen, it has to be a certain process, a certain procedure, which is followed. The Shechting, the Kabbalah Sadam, the Halacha, the Zrika, all without a Machshava Psula, all have to be done before disqualification of Tamei, Yotzei, and we can go on and on, meaning there's a lot of rules and regulations in terms of when is it going to be a qualified carbon. And if in fact you get to the point where now it's qualified and you've done everything correctly, so you take the parts that go up onto the Mizbeach and you burn it on the top of the Mizbeach and shine, and that's really, it's that simple. What our parak is going to be discussing is that the Mizbeach can handle things that really shouldn't have gone up onto the Mizbeach. Cohen holds up a carbon in his hands and he says to you, should I bring this up on the Mizbeach? And you say to him, no, I know that the animal experienced pigel, I know the animal, the blood was taken outside the Azara, it experienced Yotzei, I know that the animal was shechted yesterday and the blood that you're holding in your hands has experienced Lina, right? It's been sitting overnight. You shouldn't go and bring neither the blood nor the carbon up onto the Mizbeach. And the Kohen, for whatever reason, decides he's going to do it anyway, and the Mizbeach is Mikadesh. The Mizbeach has the ability to take that carbon, which really is disqualified and really is pasul, and it can handle it. Meaning it's up onto the Mizbeach, leave it on the Mizbeach. The Pasuk says, we're going to quote the Pasuk later on this morning, anything that touches the Mizbeach becomes Kaddish, becomes sanctified. Okay, so we have this overarching concept that things that really shouldn't have gone up onto the Mizbeach, but if they do so, you can keep there on the Mizbeach. Okay, and this is the parak of HaMizbeach Mekadesh. What exactly are those things which can go up onto the Mizbeach? Is this carte blanche that basically anything can go up onto the Mizbeach and any psul and any disqualification can go up onto the Mizbeach? So that's why we have the ninth parak, because in the ninth parak we're going to be more specific about what the Mizbeach can handle and tolerate and what the Mizbeach cannot tolerate. And that's our discussion for the next week. HaMizbeach Mekadesh, the Mishnah starts off.
Excuse me, is that a Ritzui?
No. Mekadesh means that you can keep it on the Mizbeach, but there's not going to be Ritzui. It's a good question. Meaning by Tumah, we know that Tzitz is Meratzah.
Right.
But over here, no, there's not going to be Ritzui. The owner is going to have to get a new carbon. It's just that the Mizbeach can handle it. You can leave it on the Mizbeach. Rashi uses the terminology, the Gemara really uses the terminology, it becomes a Lach Moshel Gavoah. It becomes the Kadosh Baruch Hu's meal, so to say. In other words, it's Lahavdil, but like, you know, just to give us an analogy, you know, certain things that you shouldn't be eating, we shouldn't be eating. But, you know, but once it's in your mouth, you know, you're gonna chew, you'll swallow, but, you know, things really shouldn't have put in your mouth in the first place. All right, Lahavdil. HaMizbeach Mekadesh Es Arayilo. So we start off with a header statement, right? The Mishnah does this. Tosfos points out we find the style of the Mishnah very now and then, where the Mishnah gives us a header. The Mizbeach is Mikadesh, right? Don't get confused. That word's not Mikdash. It's Mikadesh. It's a verb, meaning the Mizbeach sanctifies. It sanctifies Es Harayilo, things which are fit for it. Okay. Now, what does that mean? So that's the next part of the Mishnah. Now we're going to have a machlokus between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel. What exactly that header means? So Rabbi Yoshua Amar Kol Avarei Le'ishim Imala Lo Yered. So it has to be something which would have gone on the fire, which could go on the fire. For example, well, before we get to the for example, Shenamah, the pasuk says, He Allah Mokda. It says that this is the Ola Al Mokda. Mokda means fire, right? The fire on the Mizbech. Ma'ola Shiru Le'ishim Im Alta Lo Sered. Of course, Shiru Le'ishim Im Allah Lo Yered. So, just like an ola is fit to be put on the fire, meaning that's what's happening with the carbon ola, the entire animal goes up onto the mizbeach and put on the fire, so too anything, even if disqualified, can go up onto the mizbeach and stay on the fire. Again, lechatchila, you shouldn't have brought it up onto the mizbeach, but if done so, the mizbeach is mekadesh. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua says, roi le'ishim, it's fit for the fire. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, it has to be Roy LeMizbeach. Right? Not the fire, the whole Mizbeach. Okay? Shenamar, and he also basically turns to the same pasuk in Chumash. He Ola Amokda Al Mizbeach. But what he did is he just reads a little bit further into the pasuk. It says, Ola Amokda Al HaMizbeach. Oh, so it says the word Mizbeach. Ma ola shi ruil mizbech im alta lo seyred. I've called over shi ruil mizbech im alta lo seyred. Okay, so we have over here two explanations of what the mizbech can tolerate. Machlokis between Rav Yoshua and Rav Gamliel. Rav Yoshua says ruil ishim, and Rav Gamliel says ruil mizbech. Now, if you've been listening carefully, it sounds pretty much the same. It doesn't sound like there's much difference going on between Rav Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel. Something which is fit to have been gone onto the Mizbeach. What's the difference? So the Mishnah recognizes that we may not have gotten it yet. What's the difference between Rav Yeshua and Rabbi Gamliel? And the Mishnah now goes on to say, Ein bein divrei Rabbi Gamliel, ledivrei Rabbi Yoshua. There's a subtle difference between the two of them. Ela hadam v'hanasachim. Yeah, the difference is going to be blood and nesachim. Blood, nesachim, libations, right? With every carbon comes libations, wine, oil, flour. The nesachim of a carbon, accessories to a carbon. Every ola, every shlamim has nesachim that come along with it. So the difference between the two, Rabbi Shumar and Gamliel, is the subtle difference of dam and nesachim. According to Rabbi Gamliel, you keep it there. Why? We'll go back to what Rabbi Gamliel said. Kol harai lemizbeach. As long as it's fit for the mizbeach. Right? Doesn't have to be an animal. It's just anything fit to have gone onto the top of the mizbeach. Nesachim goes on the top of the mizbeach. Burnt on the top of the mizbeach. Blood goes on the mizbeach. And is consumed, so to say, by the mizbeach. It doesn't go on the fire, but that doesn't matter. That's not Rabbi Gamliel's qualification. His qualification is roi lemizbeach. What about Rabbi Yoshua? Rabbi Yoshua Amar Yardu. Rabbi Yoshua says, no, bring it down. Because it's harai le'ishim, says Rabbi Yoshua. It has to be something that goes on the fire. Nesachim don't go on the fire. What happens to Nesachim? It poured on the southwest corner of the top of the Mizbeach. And either it went straight down or it went over the side, depending on which Mizbeach we're talking about. But it's not on the Eish, it's not on the fire. And according to Rabbi Yoshua, it's al mokda. It's something that normally goes on the fire. Nesachim and dam don't normally go on the fire.
How do you get it up? It's liquid. How do you do that?
How do you get it off?
Cleanup. Cleanup.
It's a cleanup job. You're right.
You have to extinguish the fire, maybe the whole thing?
If it's actually on the fire itself, I don't know. No, but his point is let's say you do pour it on the southwest corner. So according to Rabbi Yoshua, you got to get it back down. Mm-hmm. You got to go up there and you got to clean it and get it off. Right?
Towels.
There's paper towels. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Okay, one last opinion in the Mishnah, which is Rabbi Shimon, and he says Azevach Kasher Nesachim Psulim and Nesachim Ksher VaZevach Pasul. I feel Azevach Zepsulim Hazevach Lo Yerei VaNesachim Yardu. Says Rabbi Shimon. When we're talking about nesachim, as is accessories to a carbon, again, every ola, every shlamim has accessories, has the nesachim that come along with it. So there, by nesachim, it's not the main carbon. It's just accessorizing. It's just there that supplements the carbon, but it's not the main thing. Therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, I don't care what became disqualified. The Karman became disqualified. The Nesachim became disqualified. They both become disqualified. It doesn't matter. If anything becomes disqualified, I'm always going to take the Nesachim off. Because the Nesachim are not the main Karban. And therefore, and because it's disqualified, so Rabbi Shimon says, just take it off. Okay, so who does he agree with? Does he agree with Rabbi Gamliel? Does he agree with Rabbi Yoshua? We'll talk more about that later on. Meaning Rabbi Shimon is really not, doesn't seem to be responding to the general machlokas of Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Gamliel regarding Roy Le'ishim versus Roy Le'Mizbeach. Okay, and we'll talk later on more about where Rabbi Shimon fits in the Rabbi Yoshua Rabbi Gamliel discussion. Okay, but let's go. We start now with the Gemara. We're on the top now of Pei Gimel Amud Beis. Roy Le'ishim, Roy Le'Ishim. So it has to be something which is fit. So Lemute Mai, what does that mean? Something which is fit for the Mizbeach. What isn't fit for the Mizbeach? Amar Rav Papa Lemute Kmatzim Shelo Kitcha Bekli. So Rav Papa says we're talking about the comets which didn't go into a kli. Okay, we've done this before. Let's just quickly go over this again. When I have a mincha offering, it's a flour offering. So the Kohen takes his hand, puts it into the mincha, into the flour offering, and then closes his middle three fingers, right? And he skims off the top and he skims off the bottom, and that's what's called kamitza. Then what he does is he takes the kamitza and he puts it into a kli. That's important. If he doesn't put it into a kli, it's not yet mekudash, it's not yet sanctified. Now Rashi points out that even before he put the kamitza into a kli, the entire mincha is already into a kli. Meaning that the entire mincha, the entire flour offering, goes into a kli shares. Rashi explains that's true, but that's not designated for the Mizbeach. Most of that's going to be eaten by the Kohanim. So that's not yet Roy LeMizbeach. What is Roy LeMizbeach? Only the Kometz. Only the fistful of flour that's taken by the Kohen. But even then, when he puts it in his hand, it's not yet Roy LeMizbeach. Rashi's terminology, it's not Huvra LeMizbeach. It's not designated for the Mizbeach. That only happens when he takes that fistful of flour, the Kometz, and he places it into a kli. Then it's now Roy LeMizbeach. So Rav Papa says that when we're having our discussion in the Mishnah of Kol HaRoy LeMizbeach, what are we not talking about? The Kometz before it has actually entered into a kli. Lemutei kametim shelo kitcha b'kli. So maskif la Ravina maishna mideula. So Ravina says, how is this any different than what Ula said? Damar Ula imure kachim kalim shehelan lifnei zrika daman lo. I'm sorry, lifnei zrika daman lo yardu. Nase lachmo shel mizbeach. There's that expression that I told you about. Lachmo shel mizbeach becomes the bread of the mizbeach. The halach of Ula goes like this. I have the imorim of a shlamim. Imorim are the insides of a shlamim. Imorim of the insides of a shlamim go up onto the mizbeach, but only after zrikas adam. Meaning the process by regular shlamim is I shech the animal, I collect the blood, I sprinkle the blood, and then and only then does the imorim go up onto the top of the mizbeach. What if I took the imorim, meaning I shechted the animal, I collected the blood, I didn't yet do zrika, and somebody, a Kohen, by mistake, by accident, put the imorim on the mizbeach. He did so prematurely, it's too early, because you have to wait until the sprinkling of the blood. But he did so anyway. So Ula teaches us, you keep it there. You keep the imorim on the top of the mizbeach. So the Gemara now points out, this seems to be a very strong question. By the kometz before it was placed into a kli, we says it's simply not roy lemizbeach. Why? Because it's premature. You didn't put it yet in the kli. And therefore, if you put it up onto the mizbeach before putting in the kli, you have to take it down. It's not roy lemizbeach. But meanwhile, the imorim before zrikas adam, that you can keep on the mizbeach. Well, what's the difference? Both of them are premature. Both of them were placed on the mizbeach before it was fit to be put on the mizbeach. So what's the difference? So the Gemara says, "Hanech lo michzuru maase begufayu, hane michzuru maase begufayu." Gemara says there's a difference. By the imurim, yes, you put it up prematurely. You should not have put the imurim up before zrikas adam, and you did. But why do I keep it there? Because I'm done with the imurim. There's nothing else to do with the imurim. Meaning it's premature because I didn't do something which was aside from the Imorim, right, distant from the Immorim. I didn't sprinkle the blood. Okay, so you'll take care of it, meaning you will sprinkle the blood. But the Immorim themselves don't need any more rectification. They're fine. Meanwhile, by the Kometz, I brought the Kometz up onto the Mizbech prematurely, and what I needed to do was take the Kometz itself and place it into a Kli Sharetz. So in other words, by the Kometz, I'm missing something in the Kometz itself. That's why if I take the Kometz before it was placed in a Kli and put up on the Mizbech, I got to go back and take it back down again. And presumably, assuming the Kometz is not burnt, I can then put into a Kli Sharetz and then bring it on top of the Mizbech, unless you want to use the concept of Dichui over here. Okay, I'm unsure, but fine. But that's the difference between the Immorim of Shlamim versus the Kometz of a Mincha. Okay, the Gemara now is going to basically do what it classically does. It's going to go Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Gamliel, back and forth. What does Rabbi Yoshua do with Rabbi Gamliel's Pesukim and vice versa? Right. This is classic methodology of the Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua Amar Kol Arai Le'ishim. Rabbi Gamliel Nami Haksiv Olam Mokda. So according to Rabbi Gamliel, where remember, his criteria is Raila Mizbeach. Yeah, but what is he going to do with the word Mokda? Mokda is talking about the fire on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says what Rabbi Gamliel does with that Pasuk, Ahu La'adure Pokin Hu Da'asa. It's coming to tell us a halacha regarding limbs or any pieces of carbon that flew off the Mizbeach. Mizbeach is kind of like a launching pad, right? It's, and if you think about it, it's so true because right, there's fire on the top of the Mizbeach. Heat, of course, is energy, and things, you know, right, and things cook, and things just burst and fly right off the Mizbeach. Now, if you have something which needs to be burnt on the Mizbeach and it flies off the Mizbeach, so what do you got to do? You got to put it back. You got to take it and put it back because the mitzvah is to burn on the Mizbeach. So if you have what the Gemara refers to as pokin, Rashi says, are not totally burnt limbs. We're not talking about psul. We're not talking about disqualification. We're talking about karbanos that went onto the Mizbeach in a state of hechsher, and it just flew off the Mizbeach because of the heat, because of the immense heat on the top of the Mizbeach. So you, the Kohen, have the obligation to take it and put it back onto the Mizbeach. How do I know that? Al Mokta. Because Rabbi Gamliel gets that halacha from the words Al-Mokda. So the Idach, and now, again, the Gemara is just now going to go back and forth. Where does Rabbi Yeshua get that halacha? Because he agrees with that halacha. La'duri poke menale nafkele me'asher tochal ha'esh. He learns it from the Pesukim asher tochal ha'esh. Rashi goes on to explain. Those words are superfluous. Fine. The Idach ha'humi ba'ile la'akule ola tamachzir via tamachzir akule ketores. So, and what about Rabbi Gamliel? I need those words in that pasuk to tell me the following. Look, limbs that fall off the outer Mizbeach, get it back up again. Go get those limbs and put it back up again because there's a mitzvah to burn it on the Mizbeach. Ola. That's the very definition of Ola. Ola means consumed totally on the Mizbeach. What about Ketores inside the Heichal? We know daily the Ketores, the incense is burnt on the inner Mizbeach in the Heichal, in the actual Beis HaMikdash. What if, and there's not that much heat over there, but still, what if some of the Ketores flies off the Mizbeach? There, you don't have to. You don't have to put the Ketores back up onto the Mizbeach. Right? It's different. It's not I don't want to say it's not a carbon, but it's not a carbon in the sense that it does not, its purpose is not to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Ketores, the purpose of it is that you want to make smoke and you want to make aroma, right? Incense, if you will. That's what it is. So if it flies off the Mizbeach, you don't have to put it back on the top of the Mizbeach. Masha ain't came when it comes to the Ola, that you do have to put on the Mizbeach. And a little bit more with this ping pong. The Edach, now what about... No, I'm sorry. I skipped a little bit. So and now we go to the other Tana, and he's going to tell you Mimela, meaning I don't need a drasha. It's self-evident. It's so self-evident that the Ola has to be returned to the Mizbeach and not the Ketores. I simply don't need a drasha for this. Okay. Now we're going to go the other direction. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Kol Arai LeMizbeach. So Rabbi Gamliel says the criteria is Rai LeMizbeach. What does he do with Rabbi Yoshua's Pesukim? Rabbi Yoshua Nami Aktiv Mizbeach. Sorry. What does Rabbi Yoshua do with Rabbi Gamliel's Pesukim? Ha'umi Ba'ilei My Rashi takes out the word Taima. My Ka'amar Rachmana Kol Arai LeMogda Mizbeach Mekadesh. The Rabbi Yoshua is basically telling you my time up. In other words, by the Torah using the word Mizbeach, it's just telling you why. Why do you want it to go up onto the Mizbeach? Because that's where it needs to be burnt. It needs to be burnt on the Mizbeach. The Idach Mizbeach Achrinik Stiv. And according to Rabbi Gamliel, we have another mention of Mizbeach in the Pesukim. The Idach Chad Lehechad Haisal Oshasa Kosher. The Chad Lehechad Lo Haisal Oshasa Kosher. Now, what's the other Tana going to do with that extra Mizbeach? Even if it didn't have a shasa kosher, even if it didn't have a time of permissibility. I'll explain what that means in just a moment. V'idach kevin de psula ninu, v'rabinu rachmana, loshna haisa lo shasa kosher, loshna lo haisa lo shasa kosher. Look, the other Tana says, we're talking about disqualified animals. It doesn't matter, it had a shasa kosher, it didn't have a shasa kosher. The whole context of the discussion is disqualified animals that go up onto the mizbeach. So I had a moment of permissibility, it didn't. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference. I wouldn't have thought of a reason to be mechalik. Okay. And now finally we get to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so far so good. We have in our Mishnah two opinions in terms of what the Mizbeach will tolerate. According to Rabbi Yoshua, it has to be something which is fit for the fire. He learns that from the Pasuk Al-Mogda. According to Rabbi Gamliel, Raila Mizbeach, which includes Dam and Nesachim, he learns it from the word Mizbeach. And then we get to that third opinion in the Mishnah, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. What is Rabbi Shimon says? Rabbi Shimon's talking about the Nesachim. That if the Nesachim are there to accessorize a Karban, Nesachim are always taken down. Whether the Karban's disqualified, the Nesachim are disqualified, they're both disqualified, doesn't matter. You always bring the Nesachim down. So the Gemara on Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Zevach Kasher, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Ola. Ma ola ba biglal atzma, av kol abayim biglal atzma, yatzu nesachim, habayim biglal zevach. So Rabbi Shimon says, it's because ola means that its obligation to be brought is generated by itself. Nesachim are just attachments, that's all they are. And so if there's any disqualification by the nesachim, bring them down. They don't get to stay up on the top of the mizbeach. Only Ola, only something where its obligation is generated by itself. It's not an attachment to something else.
How can they disqualify?
They are not disqualifying it. It becomes disqualified. The whole discussion over here is only once it's disqualified, do I have to take it down from the mizbeach? They didn't purposely disqualify it. Now, right? You don't see the word Tanya, but the word Tanya belongs there. It's Shita Mekubetz, it places it in. Okay, well, now we're going to learn more opinions. Okay, unbelievable how much machlokas is going on over here. But more opinions on this issue of what gets to stay on the top of the Mizbeach. So far what we have seen are the opinions of Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yoshua, and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, in terms of what gets to stay on the top of the Mizbeach. According to Rabbi Gamliel in our Mishnah, it's Kol Harai LeMizbeach, which we said includes not just the animal, but the blood of the animal and the Sachem of a Karban, right, its libations. We have the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua in our Mishnah says Kol Harai LeIshim, means it has to be something which is fit for the fire, meaning the Karban itself. For an Ola, we're talking about the entire animal. For the Shlamim, we're talking about the Imurim, but something which is fit for the fire. And now, as we're going to learn, actually, there are more opinions, two more opinions to be exact. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Again, you don't see that word Tanya. It's missing. Rabbi Yossi Haglili Omer Mitoch Shenemar Kol HaNogea B'Mizbeach Yikdash. I told you that one of the main psukim that speak to this idea, that something that goes on to the Mizbeach, which shouldn't have gone on to the Mizbeach, but the Mizbeach tolerates it, it collects it, is this very pasuk Kol HaNogea B'Mizbeach Yikdash. Right, the pasuk says Kol HaNogea B'Mizbeach Yikdash Shomea Ani Bein Roi Bein Shein Roi. So at this point in time, the pasuk says Kol HaNogea B'Mizbeach, anything that makes contact with the Mizbeach becomes sanctified, becomes part of the Mizbeach. So Shomeani, I hear basically from this point forward, anything. Tamalamar kvasim, makvasim ruuyim av kol ra'oi. Ask me something which is fit. So that's the opinion of Yosef Galili. So what is he talking about exactly? Not clear yet? We'll get to that in just a moment. Rabbi Kiva omer ola. And Rabbi Kiva says no. The pasuk also goes on to say ola. So ma ola ru'uya av kol ru'uya. So just like an ola is fit, it has to be something which is fit like an ola. Okay? Very, very ambiguous. Not clear what they're talking about. The Gemara now spells it out. Mai beinayhu. What's the difference between Rabbi Yosef Galili and Rabbi Akiva? So Amar Rav Ad Barava, ola sa'ov psula ika beinayhu. We're now basically talking about birds. So mar maisilei me ola, mar maisilei me kvasim. So the Gemara says, look, that's going to be the difference. According to Rabbi Akiva, it has to be an animal. So birds are included. According to Rabbi Yosef Galili, it doesn't even have to be an animal. What does that mean, it doesn't even have to be an animal? Mincha. Even a disqualified mincha can go up onto the Mizbech and stand on the top of the Mizbech. Again, I preface all this, I frame all this by saying it shouldn't have gone to begin with. Meaning, if a Kohen would have consulted, shouldn't have gone. But once it goes up, it can stay up there. So ulamanda ma'isilai mekvasim aksiv ola. Now again, now that we have these two new opinions, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosef Galili, Gemara is going to do the same thing. Again, the give and take. What is each one going to do with each other's pasuk? Iksiv kvasim v'lo ksiv ola havamina filo mechayim. If the Torah would have said kvasim, I would have thought what an unbelievable havamina that if the animal was brought up onto the mizbeach alive, walked up the mizbeach, right, alive. So I might have thought, you know what? It's on the Mizbeach. Keep it there. Kol hanogea b'mizbeach yigdash. No. Kas rechmana ola. So that's what Ola's coming to tell us. No, if it's a live animal that goes up on the Mizbeach, you walk it back down again. Well, aman d'maisi leme ola haksiv kvasim. So ikas of ola v'lo ksiv kvasim. If the Torah would have said ola na kvasim havamina filo mincha, I would have thought that that's referring to a mincha, kas rechmana kvasim. So that's what Rabbi Akiva is teaching us by the fact that the Torah says the word kvasim, it means it has to be an animal. Mincha is no good. A disqualified mincha, that the Mizbech does not tolerate. Okay. Total now of, we'll say, five opinions. Okay? In terms of what goes up onto the Mizbeach, whether it comes down. Three opinions mentioned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Shimon. And then in this Brisa that we just learned, two more opinions, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yosef Galili. And now what the Gemara is going to do is the Gemara is going to hold our hand, and the Gemara is going to basically take us through what are going to be your nafkaminas between all five opinions. Okay? And good. It's very straightforward, Gemara. My ika bein hani tanai lahani tanai, the mas nisan. So what's the difference between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosef Galili versus the tanaim of our Mishnah? Amar papa kamatzim shikasha bekli, ika bein ayu. Comets of a mincha. L'tanai di dan lo yardu, according to our tanaim, good. Because according to our tanaim, remember, what was the criteria of our tanaim? Our tanaim, by the way, just interesting terminology. Tanai di dan. Our Tanayim. Make Mishnah. Mishnah is us. Mishnah is the home team. Brisa is the away team. And it's, I know, my silly sports analogies, but it's true. Meaning that that the Mishnah is always considered, right, whenever the Gemara quotes a Mishnah, it always says Tanan. Right? We learned. Right? Whenever it quotes a Brisa, what does it say? Tanya. Tanya Tana Bara, right? It's outside. It's outside the fold. So just, you know, just a little insight into, you know, some of the terminology used in the Gemara. So the Tanai Didan, so according to our Tanayim, meaning the Mishnah, Lo Yardo. What's the criteria of our Mishnah? Riley Ishim. Something for the fire. Right? It doesn't have to be an animal. It has to be something which goes up onto the fire. Could be a mincha. Or even better, Raila Mizbeach, right? That for sure includes a mincha. Not the mincha, but the comets of the mincha. According to Rabbi Yosef Galili and Rabbi Akiva, it's got to be a carbon, right? they argue in terms of maybe birds, maybe not birds, but it's got to be a carbon. So lahani latanai demasnisa, but according to the Tanaim of the Braisa, yardu, you take him down because it's not a carbon. It's not an animal. It's got to be an animal. Okay. If you have a mincha that is brought independently, so according to everyone, lo seyred, it shouldn't come down, but ledivrei Rav Yosi Agli, Rabbi Kiva, teyred. Right? It's funny, he says according to everybody, meaning everybody in our Mishnah.
But there's a reason that the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda wasn't included in the Mishnah. I mean that they have a right. I mean that it was for some reason it wasn't an acceptable concept to put in the Mishnah.
For whatever reason, meaning yeah, I'm not. But it's not.
He put these Mishnah together. He this.
Correct. Thing. Correct. He left them out. Correct. Absolutely correct. So mincha abav ifnei atzma ledivrei kulon lo seyred ledivrei Rabbi Yosei Agli Rabbi Akiva teyred. So now, if you bring a mincha in by itself. Now, mincha by itself, meaning, by the way, when we say mincha over here, I was also confused. It's not, we're not talking about your classic mincha offering. Mincha over here just simply means libations, right? Libations that are brought by itself. It's the Rashi on the top of the next Amud, misplaced Rashi, belongs on the bottom, but sometimes the publishers did that. Belula kula biglal atzma kagona misnadev minchas nesachim, below zevach. Mincha over here means nesachim libations by itself. You're allowed to. You're right. Rashi says we're going to learn it later on in the Masechta. You're allowed to bring libations by itself. Usually libations
go with a carbon.
Are attachments to a carbon, but for whatever reason, you have oil and you want to bring oil by itself. You have every right to do so, and you bring it up onto the mizbeach.
Does Rabbi Yehoshua consider that something that's burnt on the mizbeach?
So mincha haba bifnei atzma. If it's brought by itself, not as attachments, but by itself, so ledivrei kulon lo seyred. So according to every one of our Tanaim in the Mishnah, keep it up there. It's certainly right lemizbeach. The interesting part is that it's also right leishim. And according to Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, you also keep it up there, because remember, Rabbi Shimon only has issues with nesachim as attachments, but these are not attachments; these are independent. Well, no, we're talking about when they're disqualified.
Well, yeah, exactly.
So, because according to the only point the Gemara now wants to make is that according to Rabbi Yossi and according to Rabbi Akiva, you got to bring it down because it's not an animal. Mm-hmm. That's the only point.
Would be the case. They hold this nesachim bifnei atzma.
No, they do hold this nesachim bifnei atzma. How did it become disqualified, you're asking?
Yeah.
It became tummy. Okay.
The libation, you say, there are three things, right? The libation, not just oil.
It could be oil, it could be wine, it could be flour.
So they can bring only one?
Right. The Gemara later on will discuss it. I do not remember, to be honest. Yeah, I do not remember if it has to be all three or if it could be one of the three. Okay. So the Dibri Rabbi Yosi Agli Rabbi Akiva Teyre, but according to Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Glili, you got to bring it down because they're not animals, and their criteria is it's got to be animals, right? Animals and birds, okay, but it's got to be an animal. Mincha bai mazevach. Now, what if it's a mincha libation nesachim that come together with a carbon? So now, again, the Gemara is just—I'm telling you—the Gemara is just holding our hands. It's just basically taking us through how each Tana would react. So Ladivra Rabbi Gamaliel Rabbi Yoshua Lo Seyred. So according to Rabbi Gamaliel and Rabbi Yoshua, that's fine. Because it is Raila Mizbeach, it's Raila Ishim, Ladivre Kulan, but for everybody else, meaning Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah, because it's an attachment, he says always bring the attachments down. According to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Akiva, for sure, they come down. Nesachim habayim bifnei atzman ledivrei kulan yardu. Nesachim habayim bifnei atzman that just come by themselves, according to everyone, bring them down. Ledivrei Rabbi Gimla Rabbi Shimon lo yardu. Nesachim habayim imazdevach ledivrei kulan yardu. Ledivrei Rabbi Gamliel lechudei lo yardu. And finally, nesachim that come together with a carbon, according to everybody, bring it down. According to Rabbi Gamliel, lo yardu, that you do not bring down. Okay. Pshita. After all this, after all this, the Gemara says, you know, all this is obvious. Meaning, if we would have spent the time and we would have, we could just plug everything in. Because, in other words, once you get the rules, once you get everyone's rules down, so you can figure out. Rabbi Gamliel says the criteria is Rai Le'ishim. And, Rabbi Yoshua says Rai Le'ishim. And Rabbi Gamliel says Rai Le'mizbeach. And Rabbi Sharon has this thing about attachments. And Rabbi Kiva is about animal. In other words, once you got all the rules down, so all the Gemara just did in the past seven lines is basically just plug it in. So Pshita, so the Gemara says, right? Don't we have all this under control? What's the Gemara doing right now, giving us all this information, which we really could have figured out on our own? So Mincha b'bifnei atzma tzrichle. No, the Gemara's point is like is a Mincha brought by itself, meaning the libations brought by itself. The whole point over here is that you can bring Nesachim by itself. So the Gemara says, really, that's what we're doing now? These last 10 lines of Gemara is just to make that point? You can make that point. you could have just made that point by itself. Right? So, Vinishma Inan Kidarava. So the Gemara says, so if all you're telling us is that we agree with Rava, so why don't you just simply say, we agree with Rava, that you could bring Nesachim by themselves. So Nesachim Abayim Mazevach Itzrechle, Dekamakar of Lulamacho Luyuma. Uliyuma, we have over here in the Gemara, Chara. Uliyuma Uchra. Right? The Gemara says, no, there's also more Chiddush involved in this as well. Meaning, what about attachments, Nesachim, that are not brought day of, but brought the next day? Right? We've seen this already a couple of times. We'll see it again a couple more times. Nesachim don't have to be brought the same day as the Karban. Should be, in other words, they're attachments to the carbon, but don't have to be. The Sachem could be brought the next day, 10 days later, right? You can delay the Nesachim. So Salkadar Khamina hold the Amramar min Chasam Niskam Balaila, min Chasam Niskam Lamachar, Kinesachim Abam Bifne Atzman. You might have had a Havamina, it's a good Havamina, that Nesachim brought that were delayed and brought a day later, 2 days later, a week later, maybe we should treat them independent. Maybe we should treat them as independent Nesachim, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, if brought up, you keep it there. And the Kamashma and the Chiddush is no, that once attachment, always an attachment. Even if they're not brought on the same day as the carbon itself, still you treat it as an attachment, which means that according to Rabbi Shimon, if anything went wrong, they come down again.
Would Rabbi Yeshua accept that? Because you said that things that are only burned, like, so did we say that Nesachim are burned?
Nesachim...
Some are burned, some are poured.
Some are burned and some are poured. So the Mincha Nesachim, the ones that are burnt, so that's Rai Le'ishim. But the ones that are poured are not Rai Le'ishim. Okay, and let's go, and let's start the next Mishnah, and let's get up to speed. Today's daf is Pei Dalet. And this Mishnah over here now is just going to give us some basic criteria of which disqualifications are okay and which disqualifications are not okay. And the rule is really simple. The rule is, I'll just give it away. I mean, it's just, give away some big secrets over here. The rule is, if the disqualification took place b'kodesh, in the temple courtyard, so that's something that the Mizbech can tolerate. Meaning, if you will, it made it past the gate. It's now in the Azara. And it's in the ballpark, and something happens in the Azara that the Mizbech can tolerate. If it's something that happened before having gone into the Azara, some disqualification, the Mishnah is going to give us a host of examples. I don't have to be creative over here. So that's something the Mizbech cannot tolerate because it didn't even make it past the gate. Okay? That's
5 years.
I think so. Right. I don't. I was wondering the same thing as well with the interplay between this Mishnah and the previous Mishnah. Right? I'm not sure. I think so. Elu im alu lo yardu. So now we're going to go. We're going to go through each one of these. A list of things where disqualified shouldn't have been brought up on the Mizbech, but once done so, you keep it there. Number one, lan. Lan is if the blood of the zevach of the carbon was left overnight. That disqualifies the blood, which consequently, of course, disqualifies the carbon. Okay, and consequently that means you should not bring the carbon up onto the Mizbech. If you do so, however, keep it there. Two, Yotzei, bringing the blood, or the meat for that matter, but right now we're talking about the blood, bringing the blood outside of the Azara. Boom, you disqualified the blood as well. So again, shouldn't bring the carbon anymore up onto the Mizbech, it's disqualified, but if you do so, keep it there. Three, Tamei, the blood becomes Tamei. Four, Nishchat Chutzos Manor Chutzim Kamal, you have one of your classic Machshavas Ra'os, that disqualify a carbon either Chutzos Manor Chutzim Kamal, right?
Is it Machshava or it actually have?
No, it's, I assume it's a Machshava. Whenever we say that, we talk about Machshava. I assume we're talking about Machshava.
Why didn't you just say Pigal?
Could have. Okay, Shekibu Psulim. I'm counting those as four and five.
For it to be Pigal, they need to carry out everything before it becomes Pigal.
Correct. Well, that's correct.
Okay.
Number six, Shekibu Psulim. A non-Kohanim did the Avoda. Again, that's a disqualification. That's a deal breaker. And again, the point is that that's a psul b'kodesh, and therefore, if it goes up onto the mizbech, you can keep it there. That was number six in my very unofficial counting. Vizarku is damo. I'm sorry. Shekibu psulim vizarku is damo. Or it's either or, right? You don't have to have a zar do both in order to disqualify the karban. Okay, we'll call that number seven. So if a non kohen did zrikas adam. Again, disqualified. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shinishcha Balai V'Shinishbach Dama V'Yavza Dama Chutz HaKlayim Im Alta Teiret. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going to give you three things where Bizbech can't tolerate it. If you shech the carbon at night, okay, now we know you can't shech the carbon at night. We know all avodas in the Beis HaMikdash have to be done during the daytime. The only exception is the burning of the limbs. Okay, burning of the fats, burning of the limbs. That can happen over the course of the night. But avoda has to be done during the daytime, right? B'yom tzavaso. So shenishcha balayla, shenishbach dama, or the blood spilled, v'yatza dama chutz l'klayim, or the blood was taken outside the curtains, im alta seirat, if it goes up, bring it back down again. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Common denominator of these three things, blood didn't get a chance to hit the mizbech. Okay? So even though the disqualification took place b'kodesh, blood didn't make it to the Mizbeach, therefore no good at all. Take it off the Mizbeach. Rabbi Shimon Omar, lo teirat. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, it doesn't come off the Mizbeach. Keep it on the Mizbeach. Why? She Rabbi Shimon Omar, kol she psula b'kodesh, ha-kodesh mekablo. Lo haya psula b'kodesh, ain ha-kodesh mekablo. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees, right? The Rambam follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. This is it. In other words, I don't care that the blood didn't make it to the Mizbeach. The disqualification took place after the carbon is in the Azara, and that's it. And it therefore has enough status that you get to keep it on the Mizbeach if it goes up onto the Mizbeach. Now the Mishnah is going to give us a litany of things where it's not Psul B'Kodesh, the Elu Shaloi Psul B'Kodesh, and now we're going to talk about all those disqualifications that could happen outside the Azara. Now, mind you, by the way, these disqualifications could happen in the Azara. It could, but that's not the point. The point is that since they could also happen outside the Azara, they're considered, right, psulam, right, shalohaya psulam b'kodesh.
Even if it happens in the Kodesh?
I assume so. Because, in other words,
it wouldn't make sense to have the list.
Right. I assume that we're giving categories over here. So I assume so.
This whole group is intrinsically out.
Right. Harova v'hanirva, the animal is either sodomized or the sodomizer. Right? Hamuksa v'hanevad, animals that are either designated or actually worshipped for idolatrous purposes. Ha'esnan v'hamichir, animals that were exchanged for either prostitution or for dogs. Ha'klayim, animals that were crossbred. Trefa, animals that are trefa. V'hayotze dofen, animals that came out cesarean, which are disqualified from birth. To be brought as a karban, ubale mumin, and bale mumin disqualified animals because they have a mum on it, because they have a blemish. Rabbi Kiva makshir by bale mumin. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Kiva says, "No, I'll take the bale mumin." Later on, we'll see the Gemara inside. The Gemara says Rabbi Kiva limited in terms of which blemishes he'll accept. Again, none of this is lechatchila, but which blemishes can be brought up onto the mizbeach. Dukin Sheba Ayin. We'll talk about that later on.
Something that could have happened in the Azara.
With all these things, by the way, something that could have happened in the Azara.
Like,
except for maybe. You know, yeah, sure. There could have been exchange for prostitution in the. Look.
Transaction could happen in the Azara.
Yeah, sure. And Rova Venerva could have happened in the Azara, as awkward and as uncomfortable as it is. These are things that could happen in the Azara, but the point is that categorically, these are all things that could happen outside the Azara as well.
They would retain their kodesh? They
no. These are all things that once go up, they have to bring it back down again. Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim Omer Docha Ya'av Es Ba'alei Mum Me'al Gabe Mizbech. Rabbi Chanina's Gan HaKohanim says, you know, my father would, if there was a Ba'al Mum that went down to Mizbech, he would take it off. My father disagreed with Rabbi Akiva. Kishem Shim Alu Lo Yardu Kach Im Yardu Lo Yalu. Okay, now, Kol HaNogea B'Mizbeach Yikdash tells us that if it goes up onto the Mizbeach, you keep it there. But if it comes off the Mizbeach, you don't bring it back up again. Right? It's not the Pshat the Mizbeach is now saying, I'm making it good. It's just that the Mizbeach can tolerate it. But if it goes off, you keep it off. V'kulin sh'alu chayim l'rosh ha'mizbeach yardu. What if you bring it live up onto the Mizbeach? You bring it back down again. It was a Havamina. It was the explanation the Gemara gave in terms of why it has to say both Ola and Kvasim. Because if it said Kevas without the word Ola, I would have thought, it's a Havamina. I would have thought, bring it up alive, you keep it there. So it's not, right, it's just explaining the, okay, Ola Sha'alta Chai L'Rosh HaMizbech, Tered. Shachta B'Rosh HaMizbech, Yafshit V'Yintacha B'Mkamah. Again, all this shouldn't have done, but if you shecht it on the Mizbeach, so at that point in time now, you don't have to bring the animal down and cut it in pieces and then bring it up again. You could do the Hefshet, the flaying, and the Nituach, and the cutting it up into limbs, actually on the Mizbeach, and then obviously you're right there and burn it on the Mizbeach. Okay, and now we will spend the rest of this morning going over Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon. By telling Rabbi Yehuda, Mezos, hi ha'ola, hare elu gimel mi'utim. If you go through the psukim, you will find that you have the word zos, you have he, and you have the ha'ola, the hey of ha'ola. And each one of those minimizes. It's a mi'ut. Prat. These three are what the Torah is excluding. And again, as I explained back in the Mishnah, why these three? Because blood never made it to the Mizbeach.
Why do you have three mutes? Isn't it like two mutes and that then become generalization?
Right, right. There is a rule of Mir HaChamiyot and Mir HaChamiyot El
Rabos. Three mutes following.
Good question. I don't have a response. Rabbi Shimon Omer Ola Ein Li. What's the second mute? Or this is the second case. Blood spilled. Blood spilled. Nishpach Dama. Meaning when you shechted the animal, blood went right on the floor. Correct. I understand we've talked about it. But it's such a bad disqualification according to Rabbi Shimon that you even if the animal goes onto the Mizbeach, you got to take it down.
I'm assuming there's no more blood left.
You can pick the blood up.
Only after it goes into a kli. If it goes directly from the animal to the floor, so that's it.
Maybe there's no more blood left to get.
Correct, correct. If it goes kli floor, so then you can pick it up and put it back in the kli again.
That was the first.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Giving my answer or no? Where are we?
The end of the Tosafot
says, Zosi Ha'ola. V'Torah Savi Rebo, the rabbi says, Ipsulim Di'imalu L'Yardo. Okay. Oh, because the Ritzba's Mekadesh. Okay. Alright, nothing. The simple explanation of the Gemara, which again Tosos has issues with, but the leave Tosos out of this. The simple explanation of the Gemara is that the blood spilled, meaning you shechted the animal, the blood spilled, now it's disqualified. According to Rabbi Shimon, because the blood never made it to the Mizbeach, so that's it. Even if the carbon went onto the Mizbeach, you can't take it down. You must take it down.
I mean, I went, catch it, catch him, and catch it, kill him.
Could be either one. Could be. So Shanishbach Lemashiyat, the Dami Yatza, climb Chavalan. I'm sorry. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ola, so Ola, I'm sorry. And by the way, I keep saying that it was Rabbi Shimon. It's not. It's that was all Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, apologies. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ola, Ainli Alola, Kshira, Minan the Rabbi Shanishkota Balala, Vishanishbach Dama, Vishiyat, the Dama, Chutz Klayim, Vahalan, Vayotze, Vatama, Vishanishka, Chutz Zman, Vachutzim Kamo, Vishikibu Psum, Vazarko, Vazdamo, Hanitan Lamata, Shinitna Lamala, Vamala Shanasa Lamata, Vanitan Lamachut, Shanasa Bifnim, Bifnim Shanasa Machut. I know I'm reading quickly, but again, all we're doing basically is going over every single psul that we could think about that takes place in the Azara. Upesef Echata Sheshachta Shalodashman. Minayin, how do I know to include all that? Tamad Lamar, Toras Ha'ola. Riba Torah Achas L'chol Ha'olin. Torah is a global idea. Any disqualification simply becomes... Again, it's not the Mizbeach makes it good. The Mizbeach can tolerate it. It will take it. Shim alu lo yardu. Yochol shani marbe. How about now that we're in the business of including? Now that we're being all inclusive, so why don't we include Rova, Venirva, Vamuksa, Vaneva, Vastanu Mechir, Klaim, Treif of Yotze Dolphin, Tamalomer, Zos. So now we have the Pasuk of Zos. Umare Isla Rabba says Elu Lahotzias Elu, Acha Shariba Kosovu Miyat. Look, I have a ribui Torah. I have a miut zos. So mar ba'ani es elu shayap psulin b'kodesh, umotza ani es elu shelo hayu psulin b'kodesh. So again, we're just going back to that same distinction that we made back in the Mishnah. The first category of things, lan, yotze, tame, etc., etc., those are all psulin b'kodesh. Rova, nirva, esnan, mechir kelev, those are all psulin shelo b'kodesh. And so therefore, it's mistaber. If it made it past the gate, if it made it in the Azara, as a karban, keep it on the mizbeach. If it never even made it into the Azara, rova, nirva, yotze dofen, all those categories, take it off the mizbeach. Okay? That's all the shitas. Let me say it correctly right now. That's all Shitas Rabbi Shimon. That is the accepted viewpoint, as the Rambam takes it. Okay, and good. And that takes us to the top of Pei Dalet Amud Beis. Okay, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up. We'll continue with the ninth parak of Zvachim.